That third verse says things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. And our rest would be we are clothed in everlasting arms, pillowed on his loving breast. Oh, if we could lie forever there, doubts and care and self-resign, while he would whisper in our ear, I am his. You think about that. I am his. And then he is mine. What a song. What a Savior. Open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 10. As the Apostle Paul, this is one of his epistles that he wrote sitting in a prison cell. This wonderful book where he lays out, or the Spirit of God does, that we were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. The Son of God redeemed us, and the Spirit of God seals us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's the gift of God. He tells us how to live in this world as children of God. Be followers of God as dear children. And now he finishes up this book, writing to believers, finally, my brethren. It's not like that he finished and just forgot to say something and then just added this. No, he tells us to how we live in this world. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we know nothing. Without him, as Jeff read, we have no wisdom. No wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He said in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. I just entitled the message, just stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for every saint, for all saints. And then Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He didn't complain about being bound. He was bound by God's grace. He said, I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ. But he was probably sitting there bound to a Roman soldier. And as he saw that soldier and the way that that soldier was dressed, he used that in writing this text to teach us some things about our Lord and about ourselves. We live in a world, as believers, we are in a constant warfare. You know that. I remember preaching this message. I can't remember when it was, and it was in 2014. That's hard to believe, isn't it? That's what, 8 years? But we know this is a familiar text, but we need to be reminded. You imagine it constant, never a time that there's always something attacking us. There's always something coming against us. He said that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done everything to stand, having done all that you could do to stand, you say, preacher, what am I to do? Stand therefore. He said, it's more than I can stand. What am I to do? Stand therefore. Stand therefore. I think about what Martin Luther, and I read something, I was reading from Brother Don's sermons, and he made mention of it. He said it was over 500 years ago when Martin Luther made that statement. He wrote those 95 things that were wrong with that Catholic Church, and he nailed it to the door. And then they like to nail him to the door. But you know what? As he stood before those men, he said, here I stand. I can do no other. And you know, God enables us to stand. Because without him, we would fall. What does it mean to stand? To withstand something or someone that is coming against you. It's like a man standing. You've seen men on... Now everybody's got to have just the local, the most recent news or the weather, don't they? Them guys get out there and the hurricane's coming through. They want to just see how they're standing there and the wind's blowing against them. It's going against them. He said, that's the picture here. Standing against this resistance that's coming against you. It's all that he can do to stand. All you can do. Notice how many times there the word is used against. He said, let me find it. Verse 11, you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's all against us. And as I thought about that, I thought about Jacob. Jacob's sons come back from Egypt. You know, Joseph, he thinks Joseph's dead. And Simeon's not with them because Joseph had kept Simeon in Egypt. And now these sons said, well, he said that man in Egypt said, we cannot get corn till we bring Benjamin. And here's what Jacob said. Genesis 42:36, and Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. You imagine how he thinks. He said, all these things are against me. But they wasn't against him. They was for him. If God be for us, who can be against us? But those things are against us. And if God was not for us, and God is for us, it doesn't matter who is against us. God told Joshua, when he's getting ready to go into Canaan, you know, he knows what they've told him. He's never seen the land. He's never been in there. He don't know really what he's going to face except what God has told him and instructed him. But God said in Joshua 1 verse 5, thou shalt not any man be able to stand before you. Before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give you. He said, there ain't going to be nobody that can stand before you. The only way we can stand is by our Lord's strength. It talks about us coming up out of the wilderness. You know what we're doing? We're leaning upon him. It says here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not our strength. It's not our wisdom. It's his strength. He told Paul, he said, Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. It's not us trying to muster up our strength and say, well, I know this. I know the scriptures. I can just handle this. No, that's not what he's saying. Mr. Hawker said, he that begins in the Lord's strength will be sure to find strength all the way in his warfare. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not our might or our power or our wisdom that we're able to withstand it. Do you know Satan must come through Christ to get to you? We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, and that's our strength, is to know that Christ is upon the throne, and it's his strength, it's not ours. You know, it says in Revelation, the armies in heaven overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The psalmist knew this, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. What must we stand against? Everything in this world, everything inside of you comes against you. All opposition from within and without, he's saying you maintain your ground, you stand. When our corruption from within rages, when we are surrounded with temptation and the battle is strong, stand. I was kindly amazed. I was watching the news a little bit yesterday. Those people over in Ukraine, the first city that the Russians had captured, they were standing there with their guns, and the people of Ukraine were out there with their flags. They didn't have a single weapon. They said, it's all we can do. And what they were doing? They were standing. They were shooting bullets in the air, and they were standing there, having done all to stand. What could they do? Stand. Stand. Do you ever feel like your feet are sliding? We must stand against sudden assault. Like I said, and remember, we always must be on our guard. He said, pray and watch. He told Peter, he said, there at the garden, he said, pray and watch that you enter not into temptation. There is no discharge in this war. There is no getting up like a man. You can imagine fighting in that, being outnumbered, and what are you going to do today? Well, there ain't no question about it. We're going to fight. I thought it was interesting. There was a man, he was from New Jersey, a carpenter, and he was going to sign up, and he was going to go over and fight in Ukraine. And the woman was asking him, said, why would you do that? He said, I have no wife. I have no children. And he said, I'm getting on up in age. And he said, it's something I could do. Having done all to stand therefore. No discharge, no saying, well, the battle's just too hard. Our Lord tells us, and he instructs us and warns us, this is a battle. How are we to stand? He tells us here, he said, put on the whole armor of God. Now that, just simply put, is putting on Christ. He's our armor. He's our protection. Without him, we're nothing. We are no match against it. We're no match against ourselves. We're no match against all these things that he listed. Now listen, to put on the whole armor of God is to rely entirely upon the Lord and his strength. Now, did you get that? That's pretty simple. It is to rely entirely upon him for everything. That's what it is. Because here's how crafty and wily Satan is. He wants you to, well, you just depend upon yourself. You can do this. It's like when he came to our Lord in the wilderness. You know what he said? Why don't you turn these stones into bread? Our Lord could have. It's not that he couldn't. He could have, and he didn't. He said, thou shalt not eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, why don't you jump off this temple? Why don't you just try to commit suicide? God's angels will catch you. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then he said, why don't you bow down and I'll give you all these things of the world? He said, you get behind me, Satan. He knows what it is to battle. And we should put on the whole armor of God. Here he calls him the devil, the wiles of the devil. Who's the devil? He's the false accuser. His wiles. Now, someone said this is a vague term. What does it mean, the wiles of the devil? That you might be able to withstand against the wiles, verse 11, the wiles of the devil. It simply means anything and everything that would cause a believer to rely upon his own strength and not stand in the strength of the Lord. He's so sly. He's the wiles of the devil. He said, Laura, you can do this. You can handle this. And she said, well, I can handle that. I know what the gospel says. I can do this. And then you're no match for that. Let me tell you, if it was not for God's grace, you wouldn't even be here this morning. You wouldn't even have a desire to be here. You wouldn't have a desire for nothing to honor him. He said, We put on the whole armor of God that we can stand. We don't trust in our own strength. Only when we stand in the Lord's strength can we resist the wiles of the devil. You know, when David, I think about David when he went down in that valley to fight Goliath, he trusted in the Lord. The Lord had taught him to trust him. He had done killed a lion and a bear. He said he pulled that lamb out of that lion and bear's mouth. And God told him to trust him. And he went down there that day, he's just a boy, probably just a young teenage boy. And remember, they wanted him to put on Saul's armor. He said, I can't wear this armor. I ain't never proved this. I can imagine. You imagine how huge that armor was on him. I can just see him like a little boy. Couldn't even hardly walk for the armor. He said, I've not proved this. He said, what are you going to use? He said, I'm going to take a little sling and I'm going to pick up 5 smooth stones out of this brook. And he went down there and he said, and Goliath's mocking him. And David said, I'm going to take your head off. And God did. God shut up that giant. You know what that is? The Lord's strength is made perfect in weakness. That's why God used. Don't despise the day of small things. That God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that no flesh glory in his sight. Listen. He said we wrestle. But being, you know what it is to wrestle, don't you? It's pretty close contact, isn't it? That guy wants to pin you to the ground, don't he? That's wrestling. And if Ben can do everything he can, he's going to prevent him from pinning him. We wrestle, and that's what we do. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against each other. We're not. Our battle's not against carnal men. We just see second causes. We don't wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness. That's who we wrestle against. You imagine that, wrestling with them. I'm going to pin you. I'm going to pin you. I'm going to put you out. Our battle, what he's saying is a spiritual battle. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. They all have one aim and one purpose. Whether it's society, whether it's religion, whether it's government, its design is to have men depend on themselves and not on the Lord. That's their whole design. They could care how much you go to church. They could care less. As long as you look to yourself. As long as you look to yourself. Remember I mentioned this morning about AI? Why were they defeated? Paul, they were looking to themselves. We've got this. We don't need everybody to go up. We can take this. Oh, really? You know, you think about David. He's up on the top of his house, and I think they had a place up on top of the house. They would go up there, and I think they'd go up there. It was probably cool. And he could see, and he could probably relax, and he'd go up there to meditate. He was not safe anywhere. He looks out there and sees Bathsheba. Oh, I got this. I can handle this. Oh, really now? Oh, really? He says, put on the whole armor that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. What does that mean, the evil day? Is some days worse than no? No, the evil day is just every day. Wherein, as an assault is made on truth, the evil day will come, that you can be sure of. What form it may take, we may not know. But we just know it'll come. When the enemy comes to attack, he wants to entice and to seduce the flesh. Now listen to me. Even as we sit here this morning, or you sit there and I stand, he wants to take your mind off Christ. I have been sitting exactly where you are at, and I've seen times it was all I could do to concentrate. I've seen times it was all I could do to not go to sleep. Where did that come from? So I heard Hawker say, you know, when it said the, I can't remember how exactly it put it, when Peter, James, and John went to sleep, you know, and he come back and they were, he said that was satanic. You know, look at these men. Look what's getting ready to happen. They're going to come and arrest our Lord, and our Lord's praying in such agony, and they're going to sleep, and our Lord come back. He said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Pray and watch that you don't enter into temptation. Peter said, I've got this. Everybody else may lead you, but I won't. And before the night is over, he's cussing like a sailor, denying that he even knew our Lord. That's the wiles of the devil. That's the evil day. And that's every day. Every day. You say, preacher, that's a little discouraging. No, that's just a fact. But he's told us to put on the whole armor of God. That's how you're able to withstand. I can tell you, I've seen things. Listen, if you could stand it, you wouldn't need him. I've heard people say, now the Lord won't. Now they might have meant, well, I don't know. They'd say, well, now the Lord won't put more on you than you can stand. And I wanted to say, oh, really now? It's easy when you're on that side of the fence. But when your wife's laying in there, you don't know where she's going to live or die. That's more than you can stand. What are you to do? You stand. What are you to do? You pray and watch. Put it in the Lord's hands and you watch. And wait and trust. It's in his hands. It's in his hands. You know, he'll put more on you. But here's the thing, he makes a way of escape that you can be able to bear it. And what's the way of escape? That's him. I thought about Paul. He preached and the whole city wants to kill him. And somebody said, Paul, they're waiting on you outside the gate. If you go outside, as soon as you go out that gate, they're going to kill you. They're plotting to kill you. You know what they did? They got a basket and let him down outside the wall and he escaped. There's more than they could bear. And they found a way of escape because God provided a way of escape. Thank goodness he does. You know what? He's our way out. He's our way of safety. You imagine being outnumbered. You're no match for yourself. You're no match for the world. But I know this much, Christ is. Christ our Lord defeated him. He conquered it. And I tell you this, Satan will do everything he can to take your mind off Christ, wrapped up, even get you, he will allow you to be wrapped up in religious zeal. But there is no retreat in this battle. We're going to look at this armor. Do you notice every piece of armor he mentions, he never mentions a piece for the back. There's no turning and running away. You face it head on. Because there is no retreat. Since the battle is spiritual, the armor and the weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. I have to admit, and I just have to be honest, there's times when you don't know what to do. We're looking for a way we can make escape. You know, I was thinking about when Paul was on the ship and it was getting ready to crash, and God told him all everybody on the ship would be saved. And they had these little boats, you know, hanging on the side of the ship. You know, I heard Bruce Crabtree say them was just-in-case boats. You know, just in case you need them. You know what they did? They cut the ropes and throwed them off in the river or off into the sea. Well, what are we going to do now? You know what we need to do? We need to cut them just-in-case boats off. Because we think we're going to come up with something. We can figure it out. God put you in a place. You know what? Here's a good example of standing still. God brings them to the Red Sea, and behind them is Pharaoh's army. And what are you to do? What are you going to do? You just stand still, and you'll see what God will do. You know what he's going to do? He's going to make a way of escape. You think they was afraid? Well, sure they were. David said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust the Lord. But the next morning, it says the wind blowed at night. And I said, well, what's it? Why is the wind blowing? What's happening? We can't see it. And open up, but man, the sun begins to come. Go, look at there. Look at that sea. It's opened and the land is dry. We're going to go through on dry ground. How'd that happen? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Israel, that little army, they weren't no army. They don't have weapons. And Pharaoh has all of his chariots, and he's coming against Israel. And he said, I'm going to destroy every one of them. No, he's not. God's going to use his stupidity, and God's going to drown him. Stand, therefore. You just stand and watch. You might be able to withstand in the evil day. The first thing he mentions there is gird your loins with truth. This piece of armor gives strength to all the other pieces of the armor. It's the girdle of truth. That's the gospel. Listen, Isaiah 5:27, none shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber or sleep. Neither shall the girdle of thy loins be loosed, nor the latchets of thy shoes be broken. The loins. And then the breastplate of righteousness. Our righteousness is plumb full of holes. What's this righteousness? The breastplate that would cover the man's heart, his vitals. This is Christ and his imputed righteousness. That's our strength. How do we stand? We stand in his righteousness. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? By nature, you are nothing but a dirty, filthy, vile, and I could use a few more words, sinner. That's who you are. Your righteousness is filthy rags. And how are you to stand in his righteousness? There's not one thing can penetrate it. Nothing. What protects me? His righteousness. What's going to protect me in the day of God's wrath? His righteousness. What protected Noah? The ark that was covered in pitch, the atonement. That's what protected him. What protected Noah when he was placed in the river? The ark did. What protects you? His righteousness. He comes and he says, you're nothing. And we have to say, yeah, that's true. I am nothing. But I can tell you this, Christ is everything. It's the truth. The truth. He tries to twist the truth. He said, did God really say that? Did he really say that? He come to our Lord and he said, Won't you turn these stones into bread? Won't you just do that? Here's how he speaks. He spoke through Job's wife and said, why don't you just curse God and die? The breastplate of righteousness. And the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. It is declared the peace that Christ has established. The word preparation has reference not to our walk, but to our foundation upon which our shoes rest. How do you stand? How are you going to stand? Well, I need a good pair of shoes. I love these shoes. I've had these shoes for years. They're light. They don't hurt my feet. And I could wear them all day long, but I don't. You know why? Because I'm not going to wear them out there to go feed a bunch of goats. And I sure wouldn't wear them walking out through the woods because you wouldn't stand up too long. I want something with a crated sole if I'm going out in the woods. I need something to enable me to stand. And what enables us to stand is the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're standing on the rock of ages. We're standing in the righteousness of Christ. We're standing where the ground's done been burned. That's how we stand. I could see Paul looking over at that old Roman soldiers. You imagine the shoes he wore. You know, they used to say, I think I've never been in the military, but they'd give a guy a pair of boots. And I think they'd make them walk in the water till they got them boots just plumb soaked. Then he would wire them boots till they dried. And you know what then they've done? They've molded to his foot. Because I can tell you, if you're going to march, when we went, you know, the last weekend, we went with our kids to a place, and one day we walked 6.5 miles, and I'm not really used to that. But I had on a good pair of shoes, and it didn't bother me. What if I didn't have? As we march through this world, we must have something to put on our feet to protect us from this world and give us stability. What is our stability? It is Christ. Here I stand, I can do no other. You know, in Psalm 73, it says, their foot, they think they stand, their foot shall slide in due time. If God should mark iniquity, who can stand? They won't have a foundation to stand on. You do. You rest, and it's the gospel of peace. We have sure footing. If a man was going to go out, and I think when they play football or something, they put a pair of cleats on. They don't put just regular tennis shoes on. This is how we stand. And then he says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I think I read somewhere years ago that shield of faith, that shield that Roman soldier would hold, was big enough or long enough that he could get down on the ground on his knees and hold that shield up and cover his whole body. I know most of y'all have seen old movies back during the Vikings and those, and they'd, you know, be fighting against one another, and you'd have one group here and one on the other side of this big field, and they're shooting at one another. And they'd get down behind them shields. And some of them arrows they'd light with fire, with torches. That's how what he's talking about. You can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith. Now, it's not faith that saves, it's Christ that saves. But it's the shield of faith. The shield of faith. And he gives you the shield of faith. It's my shield. And I hide behind the shield. I hide behind Christ. He is my righteousness. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And God puts you in situations to try your faith. I can imagine the first time a young man goes out there and he's having the battlefield and he's dressed in that armor that they wore and he's got his shield. And I said, man, this looks pretty scary. And it would be. Another guy was saying to him, said, don't you worry about it. That shield will protect you. You think about it. That shield will protect you. Faith. I'm justified by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. I can tell you this, nothing can destroy him. Faith. Now your faith will be tried. To believe in the faith of so much opposition. And in the face of so much unbelief, it's not easy. But believing Christ will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then we have the helmet of salvation. You wouldn't dare go into battle without protecting your mind. It's like the song we sung, when he whispers in my ear, I am his and he is mine. There's somebody else going to whisper in your ear. You don't really believe that, do you? Do you really believe that? How do you know that book's real? How do you know that's the gospel? Have you ever heard that? Oh, yeah. You need the helmet of salvation. Protect your mind. The understanding being enlightened. Our mind. And then he said, up to this point, every piece of armor has been defensive. It's to protect you. This next one is not just a defensive weapon. It's an offensive weapon. He said, take the sword of the Spirit. Now I can hide behind the shield and I can protect my heart by the breastplate of righteousness. My loins are girt about with truth. We take that sword. It's a two-edged sword. It's law and grace. Law kills and grace gives life. And you can take it. We take the sword of the Spirit. This gospel, if you just hear my voice this morning, it's just empty words. I'm just a mere man. But if God takes that sword and it cuts your heart and it discerns between the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thought and the intents of the heart, it reveals your motive. I had someone one time, I think they had heard for a long time, and I don't think they'd ever heard anything. And one day they heard, and they were not happy. Here's what they said. He don't have to just preach to me. I wasn't just preaching to somebody. I'm preaching to all of us. But you see what you know what happened? The Lord took his sword. He kills, and he makes alive. We're not just standing here. We're marching. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. That's not saying that the gates of hell are going to come against us. You don't fight with a bunch of gates. It's saying that they are no match for us. We're going to knock those gates down. You want to see it? God said, you march around Jericho one time a day. They marched once and went back to the house. Tuesday, the next day, marched one time and went back to the house. The seventh day, they marched seven times. And the whole time they did, you know what they did? They blowed the trumpet. Don't you know after about 7 days, it's going to drive them people inside that city just stark raving mad. They go, what are them idiots doing? And he said, you just shout. And the walls came down. The sword of the Spirit. It's quick and it's powerful. And like I said, it's all the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You know what that word power is? It's the word whereby we get dynamite. You know what you do with dynamite? You light it, you throw it, and you get out of the way. That's how we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel, we leave it in God's hands, and we get out of the way. Our problem is we get in the way. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You say, preach, all I do is battle. Here's something that every one of us can do. Every one of us can stand by God's grace. And every one of us can pray. He says, pray for all saints. I want to say I appreciate when these men stand to read scripture. About every time they pray, they say, pray for Mike. Paul said, pray that God would give him utterance. And if God don't give me utterance, I don't have anything to say. Now, I can make an outline. I can look up definitions. I can do those things. But it's more than that. I need something to speak to your heart, not just your head. You know, and I wasn't sure about it, and I read someone who made this comment about Spurgeon. You know, Spurgeon had the Metropolitan Tabernacle, would probably seat several thousand, between 5,000 and 10,000 people. But do you know the whole time that Spurgeon was preaching, they asked him, what would you attribute your success to? He said, underneath that pulpit, there'd be men downstairs, probably a couple hundred men, praying. Praying that the gospel would run well. Satan wants to try to snatch it. You remember our Lord, he used the picture of, you know, sowing the seed. He says the fowls of the air came and snatched the word from their heart. You know what that is? Satan trying to snatch it from your mind. He doesn't want it to take root. And those men praying. Jeff prayed for our nation. He prayed for our leaders. We're commanded to pray for our leaders. Pray for those which are kings and those which are in authority. And you know who was in authority when Paul wrote that? A man named Nero. Those men on the world stage today, they don't even hold a candle to Nero. He was a filthy, vile homosexual. He would take Christians and put them up on stakes and set them on fire and just laugh. And pray for him. And God used him. And when Paul was beheaded, I don't think it was 6 months later, that old man, he committed suicide. You know what? He served God's purpose. We need to pray for each other. We need to encourage each other. And we pray that every time the gospel's preached, that God would give somebody faith to believe. I don't want to make you feel bad, but when was the last time you prayed for the radio message? Radio, you know. I wish people would hear. If God's going to save them, it's going to be through the preaching of the gospel. I don't know how many times something's happened to try to mess it up. It would be something would happen. It wouldn't come on at it, Danny. Just say, why does that happen? Well, you think Satan wants people to hear it? Well, I know he don't. Say, Lord, stop him. Mess up his counsel. Bring Ahimaphel's counsel to naught. They don't want you to hear. They don't want anyone else to hear. Let me just a few things and we'll finish. I'm sorry it was so long. Being in a state of war, we must be ready for battle. Most of you all know who John McCain was. He was, I think, a senator, congressman one. And he was saying when the Japanese, when they bombed Pearl Harbor, you know, we were trying to stay out of that war. It ain't our battle. We let everybody else fight it, you know. when they dropped them bombs on and killed our men in Pearl Harbor, the next day I think they declared war. And John McCain said his daddy and his best friend, you know what they did the next day? They went and signed up. We're going to war. And Jeff, your daddy saw some of it. I can't imagine being on that island of Iwo Jima. And them boys say, I just don't think I want to fight today. No, they was there for a mission. We're going to conquer it. And you know, you see that place up on top of a hill? We're going to place a flag. You know what that flag meant? That flag meant victory to the Americans, but it meant defeat to everybody else. You know what we've planted here? It's called the banner. We want the banner to wave. That's the gospel. This is his place. This is where his gospel's declared. His gospel. We're always ready for battle. As the Lord's children, we are to be humble, self-denying, submissive, and patient. But we are not to be effeminate, timid, or a bunch of cowards. He says, quit you like men. You know, I can't imagine. I know men go to war, and I can't imagine seeing some of the things they see and having to deal with it. But I've thought about in old times, when you fought hand to hand, when I'm standing here with a sword trying to fight you and you got a sword, and when I take your life and I see the life go out of your eyes, you imagine dealing with that. War's not pretty. It's war. And we are in a war with ourselves and this world. And God help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't look to yourself. Look to him.